Make it clap. Make it clap.
Have you noticed how many episodes I keep that in as the intro?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always keep it in.
I would just use the song, but obviously we get done for copyright.
This is a song?
Yeah.
I thought it was just being you being you.
No, I think it's Busta Rhymes.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
Do you know what I'm on about?
Oh, what are you about? Yeah. Busta Rhymes. Episode 2 in the car. We just did an episode which we would have released a week by now.
Yeah.
So this is week 2.
Car, so we're back in the car with Billy Bob. Billy Bob, he is a dog. He is neither of our dogs. He's our friend Dog Wolf Wolf Wolf. Wolf Wolf Wolf, I've got Pig Tough. I love coffee. We're back.
We're back.
Hope you all had a nice week. I hope you've enjoyed your first weeks back at colleges. If you're a college student, if you're still unemployed, I hope you're still grafting. And if you've booked a job, good for you.
What am I doing? If you're unemployed?
Keep grafting, yo.
Talking about being employed. So today's episode, we're going to talk about life as self-employed. How to manage expectations with being self-employed, as most dancers are.
Self-employed sucks.
I know, there's pros and cons to that. We'll dive into that.
Yeah.
And also how to manage your business relationships. You as an individual are a business, and it's, I think, a good topic and one that's not discussed is how to communicate with the people around you, which maintains healthy business relationships, but also how to generate more work in the future, which I think is something that me and you are very good at.
Yeah.
You look like you're about to say no.
No, you're right, 100%.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like I'm not the greatest at what I do, but I'm very, very good at business relationships.
Yeah, you are.
Which is why I maintain those kind of long-term clients, etc. I'm in either world that I'm working.
I'm good at making people think I'm good at
working. That's cool, blagging.
Yo.
Blag it.
Blag it. Yeah.
So you said self-employed sucks.
It doesn't.
Self-employed
can be fantastic. It can also suck. There are lots of negatives to self-employed. Self-employment, like security, you know.
Mortgages. Don't even start on that one.
Don't even start. We will do an episode one day on mortgages, like for people if you're self-employed. My brother-in-law is a mortgage advisor and he specializes in mortgages for performers.
Is it?
Yeah.
Plug.
His name is Alex the Mortgage Guy on Instagram, I think.
I think says it in the name, doesn't
it? Yeah, I think that's what it is. But if you're trying to get a mortgage, message me and I'll give you his information. Free advert, Al. you'll make
Plug
dinner.
City,
you'll make dinner next time.
But yeah, so
there's lots of negatives to it. You know, insecurity, like you don't know when your next paycheck is coming in, you know, months without any money. Like there's so many things which like makes being self-employed difficult, right? But then there are loads of beautiful things to
it. Beautiful things.
Like being your own boss, making your own decisions, being able to choose what you will and won't do. Like, if you work for a company, let's say you work for Argos, like, you don't get to decide what you do when you go to work that
or
day.
Or when you go on holiday, or like...
Yeah, when you take a break. Like,
yeah, it's like...
Whereas self-employed, you do get to dictate a lot of those things. Like, when... Not all the time. Like, obviously, if you're in rehearsals, like, you can't just be like, I'm going out lunch now.
I'm out. Like, peace.
But you can say, no, I don't want to do that job.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? You can say, like, no, I'm not willing to do...
And I think when you're good enough at what you do, people will start to work around you. Obviously, there's limitations, especially in the dance world. You know, they're not going to change the film dates for you. Do you know what I mean? But like,
yeah.
I think when you get to a certain caliber of what you do, people will start to bend.
Yeah. Situations. But I still recommend treating everything like you are employed.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, because you can't, you don't want to go in and be like, well, I'm not doing that. You don't want to be that guy. I've been that guy. Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
And you don't want to go like, oh, well, no, I'm going on a lunch break now. Because that's not how people want to keep working with you. And that's not going to build a healthy working relationship with your colleagues and people you work with. So treat it like you are employed. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you wouldn't be able to do that somewhere else. So don't do it here. But it just gives you a bit more freedom to make choices for yourself when you're self-employed.
Yeah. And you can, I mean, for me, the main reason why I'm self-employed is I get to manage my timetable.
Yes.
Like
your schedule is based on what you want to do.
Absolutely. You know.
Or what you have to do.
Or what I have to do. And don't get me wrong, if there's a job, like if you said, Jake, we're filming on the 15th or whatever, you know, but I get to diarize that. You know,
yeah.
I said you can say yes or no to that. And to me, that's the biggest advantage. Like the reason that I work the way I do is, to me, time is the most valuable asset.
Time's more than money for you, isn't it?
Time's more than money for me. And so if I can go and film 2 podcasts because I don't have to work, or like I'm not told when I have to work, dope, I'm in. Do you know what I mean? And so like for me, the trade-off has always been financial security for less time restraints. That's my trade-off in the way I see it.
Nice.
But what is a constant mindset for you, being self-employed, getting hired by other people? Like, what's your immediate reaction to like how you treat a job?
I feel like I'll always, I say it all the time, I treat every job I do with respect. Like, I'll be on time.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, and I always say that's the very first thing that happens. You either show up early, or you show up late, or you show on time. Like, and that dictates the day, kind of, for me. So I just always make sure that I respect the job. I give it the time. I show up on time. When it's teaching, I don't always need a prep, depending on who I'm teaching.
And the caliber of student.
But I will always, you know, ask, what's the caliber like? How old are they? What do you want? What are you expecting from me? Like, what do you want to gain from me coming to teach your students? And then depending on, you know, all the outcomes of that, if they're younger, I probably won't have to prep. I can make up kids' routines on the spot. I've taught loads of them. I can use an old one. You know, even with older advanced ones, but say they're like, oh, we want to really focus on this specific skill, or we want to do an audition prep, like, then cool, I have to prep and I'll adapt to it. But to me, knowing all what they're asking from me or what they want, that's my prep.
That comes within the communication pre-job.
Yes.
So like something that I always do, no matter what client I'm working with, whether it's a videography client or PT client, is like get into a good solid consultation with them and dive into the nitty-gritty details.
Yeah,
I like what you said about what do they expect from you. Something that I do in my PT consultations is, it's a very coaching style question, but I think it sets the tone of how you're going to work together, is I always ask the question, in order for me and you to have a successful relationship, what characteristics do you need to bring forward? And I say that to them, like, what do you need to bring towards this
relationship?
And they go, oh, I need to be hardworking, on time, whatever, whatever. And then I go, and now what characteristics do I need to bring forward? So then I know what role I'm playing within that job.
Yes.
If they need me just to be on time, motivational, whatever, or they need me to pick them up when they're down, or if they haven't turned up for a week, to text them to come in for...
To give them shit.
To give them shit, do you know what I mean? So then I know where I'm, what role I'm playing.
Yeah.
And whilst I don't implement that into the videography world as much, because it's a bit more of a cut and dry relationship, it's still, I use that initial contact or consultation to really dive into the details, so I know who I'm trying to be.
Yeah, I feel like when, like, to be successful, not the only way to be successful, but to be a successful self-employed person, you have to be a bit of a chameleon. You have to be able to adapt.
And know who you're talking to.
Know who you're talking to, because, like, your boss changes. Your boss is always you. But the person who's hiring you changes every day or every week.
Yeah.
So it's not like you know, you go to Tesco and the manager is your manager for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, you're always going in and, do you know what I mean? You're always dealing with different people. So you have to always kind of go in and be able to go, okay, they're an alpha. Like,
so I'm going to play beta.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a step back.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be the aggressive one, because we can't both be aggressive, because we'll collide. Like, if you're indecisive, if you're coming to hire me and you're quite indecisive, maybe I need to take the lead on this. And you do this a lot, especially with videography, especially with me. Like, you take over, because you go, what do you want? And I go, just make it look good, bro. I'm here to teach them steps. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas at first, you didn't really know how, you were a bit like, like, because it was new, right? When you started filming, I was the first person you probably filmed for.
Yeah.
Like, so it was a bit like, and I was like, just do you, bro, figure it out. Like,
I figured it out.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Which actually worked, because it kind of was giving you free range to learn and fuck up. And
yeah. Which is what I needed, for sure. But yeah, I love the idea of being a chameleon. Like, so true. Fucking hell, sorry, making noise. And having the social skills and awareness to read the room.
Yeah. And even if you're a dancer on a job, like, my energy with Sean Niles as my boss might not be the same energy as Cisco as my boss. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it
you
might
can't,
be different. Like, or if I'm going to work for Sean Niles and then I'm going to go work for Rich and Tone. I've never worked for them, but I would love to. Shout out. like, from what I've heard, like, Rich and Tone are very, like, let's get down to fucking business. Like, they're very harsh in a nice, like, we got to get shit done way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas Sean Niles is a silly goose. Like, you're going to have fun, you're going to make jokes, you're going to roll around on the floor, you're probably going to mess around quite a lot. Mm-hmm. You're still going to get work done, but there's going to be lots of giggles and jokes on the way.
But you can't be the same person.
Can't be the same person. You can be the same person. Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like viewers or listeners might be thinking, oh, but you, that's not your authentic self.
Yeah.
I think you're your authentic self, but you're just stripping back or blowing up certain characteristics of you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm still going to be the person who suggests 9,000 different ideas because that's my authentic self, but it's how much or how I use that communication to put it forward. Do you know what I mean? So we're not saying to not be you, just saying to be highlight or downgrade different variations of your characteristics.
Yeah, which you're going to bring, because at the end of the day, no matter what happens, you as a self-employed person, whoever you're working with or working for, should have the same desired outcome of a good product.
Mm.
So whatever you need to do to adapt to make that product better makes better results for you as a self-employed person because it's going to bring you more work.
Mm. Something that a mindset I've definitely had, especially in the videography world, is I treat every job, regardless of the caliber, the exact same.
Mm.
So if I'm working for Sally, jazz street dance owner, or I'm working for Disney, not happened, I'm still going to apply the same level of work ethic, even if the money doesn't add the same, because the way I look at every single job that I step into, there's something to learn from it. And so I, even if I don't enjoy the job or the pay doesn't, you know, equate to what I would like it to be, I go, okay, those are the negatives, but the positive, I'm probably going to still learn something from this job.
Mm.
Or I can work on something in the job. Like, I might film or communicate or train or whatever completely differently to the way that I did the last job.
Mm-hmm.
So I use it, not as an experiment, because I'm still going to do a good job or whatever, but I use it as a, okay, these are the negatives, how do I take a positive out of it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know, is that something that you apply?
I do all the time teaching. Like, I'll be like, okay, I'm teaching this, say I'm teaching at a school once, probably can't take many risks with that school.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I don't get a chance to make up for it if this doesn't go to plan.
So you use your bread and butter kind of
teaching. So like on a Saturday, excuse me, on a Saturday, I teach Wilkes under 16s.
Mm.
So with the kids, I can try new methods of teaching. I can try new exercises because if it doesn't work.
You've always got next week.
We've got next week.
Yeah.
And we know not to do that again. So it doesn't feel as much pressure to hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
It allows me to like try creatively new ways to deliver information.
Yeah.
And I don't mean creatively to like come up with new steps or choreography because I wouldn't do that with kids. Like, do you know what I mean? But like just new ways of getting them to learn, to see, to practice how I can be better.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because otherwise, how do I practice teaching?
Yeah. You can't practice.
You can't practice teaching.
George, can I try a new exercise drill on you?
Well. so I feel like it's knowing when and when not to do those kind of things.
Yeah, choosing your moments.
Choosing your moments. Like, if I'm going in and going to teach a one-off class at base or the hub, and I'm covering Cisco or John, and I know it's going to be busy, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, let me try this routine
Let's
out.
Let's try a new artist, choreo or whatever.
Yeah, not even that, but like, let me experiment with something I'm not good at.
Yeah.
If it's a one-off.
You teaching jazz funk?
I wouldn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would only teach my best foot forward.
Of course.
Whereas if it was every week, then maybe I could be like, right, guys, this week I'm trying something new. Mm. Like I do at college sometimes when I teach at the colleges. I'll be like, right, guys, I challenge myself to choreograph to a song that I wouldn't normally choreograph to.
Mm.
We're all in this together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can get away with doing that.
But there's honesty behind that.
Yeah. And I can get away with doing it because they know me. It's like, it's regular. They know that I'm challenging me to challenge me. Hopefully this inspires you to challenge you kind of way.
Reading about, you said best foot forward. Mm-hmm. So again, I think that's a whole kind of subcategory in itself. It's like, no matter again, what job I'm going into, it's like, I always try and work out the way to put a best foot forward. Mm. Example, I'm filming for two big colleges next week,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is a graduation ceremony, and I looked at myself in the mirror, I was like, you need a haircut, bro, before you go in this job.
You're gonna wear a suit?
No, of course not.
Why? It's grad.
Yeah, but like I'm not graduating.
Yeah, but I think
I'm gonna wear. I'll wear like smart casual, as in just like black. Yeah. And I'm meant to be hiding in the background.
Yeah.
Might wear some J's though.
Always come J's. On now. You still wear a suit with J's.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Do it. Maybe jeans.
I reckon if you show up in a suit, they'll be like, "Yo, this guy's a gangster."
No, I'm not turning up in a suit.
Yeah, you can't show up looking like a techie, bro.
No, I wear like nice jeans, nice.
No, no offense, techies. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, no Mark Zuckerbergs. But like for me, like I know I had to put my best foot forward. So I hit my barber up, asking for a haircut. He had nothing. I said, "I'll pay you extra to come early," and he came in early.
Wait, you've had it done?
Shut the fuck up. No, it grew shorter.
I'd ring him again. So, does he accept refunds? Maybe you should wear a hat.
Is that why you're wearing a hat?
Always. Always. Ginger, bro.
Best foot forward, right? But like for me, like just like sorting out my appearance before big jobs is like part of putting a best foot forward, because I'm controlling public perception of how I come across.
I went for my teacher training day last week, and I, you know, it was the first time meeting new staff, and there was like a big person from the head of like a university there. So I went and got a haircut just so I knew, even though I wore a hat. But just so I look more presentable.
More presentable. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I made sure my outfit was on fire. And I wore Mr. YouTube's t-shirt.
Nice.
It's a sexy t-shirt. And it says, look good, feel good.
Mm.
No, look good, feel good, dance good.
Yeah. Nice.
I like that slogan. It's good. Yeah. Don't know if it's true, but.
I know, yeah. I think like my mindset always leading up to jobs is like, what can I do to make my life easier and look and come across the best? Like just small things like diet or sleep. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I've got a big job, I ain't fucking around. I ain't going to the pub the night before.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to wake up and be, like, rosy fresh.
Well, it's like, I've said it multiple times on here, I believe, but, like, when I was in LA, like, I was teetotal. Like, I drank probably once a year. Because I was always like, there is no way that I'm ever going to look tired or hungover getting to set or going to an audition or meeting a choreographer. And I was always afraid of, like, I could be drunk in a pub and bump into a choreographer and then I'll say something stupid.
Something stupid.
Because I get like that bit of Dutch courage. And like,
you should fucking hire me.
Yeah, I'm fucking brilliant.
Why do my accents change?
I know.
That's me when I'm drunk.
Yeah. Do you...
Go on.
How do you seek new work opportunities?
Well, do you know what? This sounds not arrogant, but I've never marketed in either of my main careers.
Yeah.
Like, I started PTing 5-6 years ago. I think for the first 6 months, I did some, like, flyering and Facebook posts and shit. And then after, I never... which I was actually a topic I was going to touch on is I never had to market because I was always showing up and doing the best that I could that they were my...
Yeah, the product reference.
They referenced me in word of mouth because I always put my best foot forward. And even when I was running the gym, when I opened up the gym, I never really marketed that because I made sure every client's experience was like as good as I can do, and I made sure my staff's...
I don't know if it's that easy as a dancer. I think it is when you're like established.
Of course, like if you're like your caliber, like you probably don't
even
need
still. I still have to like market. I still like. My first ever time I taught at Addict, I think I was like, yo, if you have any cover, I'd love to come and teach.
Okay,
like, I think
let's read on to that in a second.
I think I seeked, you know, I seek opportunity.
And then in the videography world, this is quite a new endeavor. I've never advertised. Mm. People just tag me and shit and I get work.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't even got a website. I only made a logo like a month ago. Yeah.
You didn't even want to do that. I forced you to do that.
And I think there is something to say about this. And I always use the Ferrari reference. No, sorry, Lamborghini reference, I think, is... Have you ever seen a Ferrari Lamborghini advert?
No.
No, because I don't need to.
Yeah.
Because their product talks to themselves. And that's always my focus is like, I don't think this is the correct business idea for the record. But I think my focus has always been to do a really good job and people will hear about it.
Mm.
Rather than focusing on telling people that I'm a good idea.
Yeah.
You know? And the moment I get contacted by an inquiry, I nearly always convert because the moment I get them onto a phone call, I can
I'd love
fill
to,
people with confidence.
I'd love you to like be at that because like your success rate of like booking your job via a phone call. I'd love for like a casting director to call me and be like, so I'm just inquiring if you're available, like, and I'd have to sell myself. It'd be so funny because that doesn't happen because we have an agent, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So essentially, like, our agent should do that. But I'm pretty sure they're just, like, sending an email or ringing, and they're not vouching just for you.
Just for you. They're going, I've got 5 other dancers or whatever.
Yeah, but, like, if they'd be like, you have to do the conversation yourself. And I guess it's like you do that at castings and auditions.
Yeah, in so your self-tapes and stuff or your...
Slates.
Slates?
Yeah.
I guess that is that sell moment,
yeah.
But it's not like a communication, it's like a
I can bring this to the table. It's a hi, my name is Kane, do you know what I mean? But like, imagine every job you went for, you sat down after it and they were like, so what can you bring to the table?
But I think you can use classes as that opportunity, like, not as much because you can't get one-to-one communication as easily,
but yeah, but Ashley Wallen isn't teaching a class for you to get that opportunity. Fair. Like, so it's harder.
Obviously, it's harder. I do think the dance world is differently, so I think there's not as much crossover. But I guess the idea I'm coming across is, like, I concentrate on competency rather than, like marketing.
Yeah, but, like, you know, like, so as a choreographer or creative director, you sometimes pitch for a job.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you'll pitch to an artist. Say an artist is looking for a new creative director or the artist label is.
Yeah.
Like, you'll do, like, a... You'll do a pitch. You'll say, like, you know, what you've worked on, send off your showreels and stuff, and then maybe you'll, like, create like a video for them to be like, look,
this is what
this
we
is
do.
What I've done, like, yeah. You'll get like in a skeleton crew, you'll create like a fake music video and you'll send it off.
Mm-hmm.
Like a submission, it's your video submission to work with that artist. In LA I used to do a lot of them for choreographers. And they'd send it off. Imagine just being able to like do that as the dancer and be like, here is in my video submission, like, or you can do a video submission, but like, here's my pitch.
Right.
And like, it's you, like a video of you talking, like, my name's Kane, I'm really good at this, I work really hard, why I show not, up though? On time, I'll treat every job with, like, for
could
me.
Could it work though? Like, if you put that in your showreel, if you open up your showreel, like, cause no show, like, I edit a lot of showreels,
yeah.
Not one of them has, like, a vocabulary persuasion point.
Right. So could say the beginning was like, hey, I'm Kane, like, for me, I treat every job with the utmost respect. My priorities are to deliver the best product possible.
This is my value system.
To be on time,
yeah.
To work hard, and treat everyone with respect.
And I
and then go, I bet you people will be like, yo.
I might add this into my edits. But I think stuff like that sets you apart. You know, how many showreels do they look at?
Loads.
Thousands. And if someone introduces, instead of just headshot, you know, spotlight number, email,
yeah,
it's like, yo, this is me, come at me. Do you know what I mean? I think that could work, just saying. We had no intention of talking about this, but yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, let's make one for me and trial it.
Sure.
And we'll send it off, and I'd get feedback from, like, I'll send it some
agents
and be like, what do you think of this as a new pitch, as
game
an
changer.
Idea
Gibson Media, shout out. No, kidding.
It was my idea. See, you've been a videographer, my idea.
Yeah.
Stop stealing my ideas.
I'm implementing my
okay.
ideas.
Okay. Fair play. As long as you do the work, it's fine.
That sounds like a normal state of relationship.
Yeah.
No, but I do think something that I've focused on heavily over the last couple of years is my communication skills.
Mm.
I'm not a great speaker and I'm not a great writer.
You know you are a great speaker. That's a bullshit.
But it's something that I've really worked on.
You've improved on. Because you used to say you were quite an introvert until you started doing this.
This has helped me massively, like, just being comfortable in front of, like, speaking publicly and in front of cameras or whatever. Like, before I used to, the first few episodes, I was so filled with angst. I was, like, adrenaline up.
Yeah, you
time.
Didn't even want to be on camera.
No.
You were like, I'm going to sit behind the desk. And then one day I remember you going, can I sit with you? I was like, fuck him. I was like, all right.
I want to show off my trainers.
I was like, all right, you weirdo. Of course you can.
But, like, I've done coaching courses. I've studied a lot of psychology. You know, I've listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff, all things that help me people manage.
Yes.
And I used to do like a lot of sales, and again that goes into like my being able to sell myself to get work.
Yeah, it's funny, I do feel like as dancers or performers we spend so much time working on our craft that we don't spend enough time working on these other things which close the deal or get us on the job or keep us on the job.
Well, because I don't think there's an emphasis that you are a business.
Yes, that's correct.
Do you know what I mean? You're just taught to dance, but you're not taught to sell yourself.
Yes.
Or sell yourself to employers and choreographers.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? That's an advantage that you can get over everyone else.
Mm. I just think.
I think long and hard.
I went to say it and I was like, don't say that.
Right. But do you know what I mean? Like, have you ever been to a college or taught yourself or been taught in a college or a class that saying like, yo, you're so, like, this is how you manage your finances as a self-employed person?
No.
Like, this is taxes. Because you're self-employed, so you got to do your own taxes.
Yeah.
Like, this is how to maintain public and business relationships.
Yeah. But I think Emily does stuff like this, right? On her behind the business, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Emily Golden Ellis. So go and hit her up, because I do believe, like, she does talk about stuff like this on her platform that she has.
Mm.
Like, I would like to talk about it, but I don't know it well enough, so I would never give advice on, like...
I wouldn't give advice on taxes and shit like that, for sure.
But my best advice for tax? Get an accountant.
Get an accountant.
Best thing I ever did, like, get an accountant. Learning how to delegate, that knows our industry. So, they used to sponsor the podcast, Theatre Counts. Like, go and check them out. Like, they are actually fantastic.
Talking of, like, the idea is, I think, know your strengths and know your weaknesses and know when to employ people to work, to cover up your weaknesses.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a shit editor and you need a showreel, go get an editor.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't put together some steps for your showreel, get a choreographer.
Yeah.
Or hire someone like Kane who can go, here's some aids.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, just like when people, like, because I'm their teacher, they think that I'm the guy to go to for headshots. They're like, what should I do my headshots like? And I'm like, yo, this isn't me.
This isn't you.
Like I'm a good dancer. Like, I know what to do for mine. Mm-hmm. But, like, for you as a 19-year-old girl, I'm not the person.
Go talk to Hannah.
Yeah, go and talk to a girl who's in that world. Like, don't come to me. If you're a boy, you can come to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can help you. Like, it's like knowing what is for you and what isn't. It's like when people say to me, yo, I want to learn popping. I'm like, yeah, cool.
Not me.
Don't hire me.
I can teach you to shuffle.
Like, yeah. Or like, I want to learn locking. I'm like, I'm not going to teach you those things.
Mm.
Like, even before, like, I've been like, will you teach a musical theatre class? I'm like, no. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because it's not
who you are.
Like, I'm not going to be able to bring my best. I can bring my best foot forward for that thing, but it's not going to be
It's not going to be an industry.
It's not going to be
best foot forward.
It's not going to be my how I want to be represented or how I want to be seen or perceived.
But again, kind of reading back.
So
to
delegate.
Like going back to delegation is like, I always view things like that as an investment in A, more time, but B, a better product. Like, again, you are, in my mind, you're a product at the end of the day. So if you spend 300 quid on getting some headshots, buy, you know, one of the best dance headshots in the country or whatever, you're giving yourself edge. Can you get yourself really nice looking showreel?
But then if you're doing that, then if you're already going to invest that much money in a headshot or something, why not invest it in, like, getting a makeup artist? Or getting, like, I know it's money, and it sounds like, I know it's not that easy, because headshots are 300 quid, your makeup artist is 150 quid,
your person's
getting your stuff, but, like, all these are, like, if you get headshots and you spend £300, and then they come back, and they're a 7 out of 10, but you know you could have spent an extra 100 quid to make it a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, it's money in the bank, and it's also, like, those headshots can be in my mind, again, I'm not obviously a professional dancer, but those headshots could be the difference between you getting a job and not. And if that one job is likely going to pay off your headshots.
Like, I was showing you some headshots earlier for a job that I'm working on of, like, the dancers. And I was like, you know, I know some of the dancers. And I'm like, look how incredible this dancer is. We know how incredible they are. Look how poor that headshot is.
Mm.
And it's not like, it's not even that it's like a poor headshot. Just doesn't show that person at all. It doesn't show her off.
Highlight.
It doesn't highlight that human whatsoever. And even a boy, like one of the boys, he's one of the, like, both of them are actually, they're both ex-students, and they're both two of the best dancers I've ever taught, and I know, and I believe they're gonna have the most amazing careers. And I was like, their headshots do not show them off
in their best light. Yeah,
you know what I mean? It shows like a quarter of the personality or their ability.
And I think I was talking to a client about this the other day, like, we're very reactive rather than proactive. And so can you be proactive about investing in yourself early on so that you reap the reward later? A quote that just comes to mind is...
You love a quote.
I love a quote. I can't actually remember what the quote is, but it's basically saying, we either get paid for the decision we make years ago or we're paying for the decisions we made years ago.
Ooh.
And I really like that.
Say it again. It's,
I'm going to fuck this one up. You're either getting paid for the decision you made years ago or you're paying for the decisions you made years ago. And it's like the idea of, like, just because there's not an instant reward now doesn't mean there's not a reward for it later. Like, if you pay for headshots now, let's say, as our continued example, and it doesn't book you a job next week, it might book you a job in 6 months' time. It might book you a job in a year's time.
We can use this as an example. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up, actually.
This shit to run is so expensive.
and time.
And more time than you would even know. We don't just come here, sit, talk, and it's done.
No.
Like, it's so much time, especially for you.
Yeah.
But it's so much time. Like, and we don't reap... There's no financial reward here. We don't make a penny from this podcast. But the gains from it are that, like, people will hire us in to teach or to do videography work. And
social status and we names.
And we know that it'll pay off in the future.
Yeah.
Or we're banking on it paying off in the
future.
Well,
I think it's very indirect income. It's, you know, as you said, like, we get more work from it, but blah, 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 blah. Like, and it,
which isn't the reason we do it. We do it because we're our main... Like, when we first started doing this together, you said, like, how are you going to, like, monetize it? And I said, my goal is to impact people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I impact one person, my job is done. If we just focus on impacting one person at a time, then organically everything will pay off. And slowly I feel like it's beginning to, like, come into fruition. Not direct income to the podcast, but, like, we're getting more opportunities because people go,
Oh, you're the guys from the podcast.
Yeah,
yeah.
You
there's
guys.
So many times they go, you're from the podcast, aren't you?
Yeah. Even Taz said that she was at base, I think I told you, and someone went up to her and was like, she had two people in the same day go, you're the girl on that podcast. And she was like, yes.
Yes, I am. And, like, kind of sticking on that idea is, like, don't be blinded by short-term gain.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think as self-employed, you're always thinking about, like, what does this look like in 5 years' time? What are my decisions now? Pay me later.
But as a dancer, that's really difficult. As anyone, is really difficult. But as a dancer, it's really difficult to see 5 years' time when we can't pay that month's rent.
I'm not saying that. It's more about your decision making.
Yes.
How do I network? Like, how do I communicate to people? Like, mm-hmm. It's all these, like, micro decision making.
Yeah, like, if you know that you can be the dopest dancer, but you know that, like, you get social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to try and work on overcoming that because the social aspect of this industry is a huge part of it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because no one wants you, like, you can be the dopest dancer, but you turn up on set, you don't know anyone, and everyone's like, oh, he's weird.
Weird and awkward. And
he's
clunky.
Awkward.
Like we just got served by a guy in a coffee shop.
We got served by a guy in Costa.
And he was the weirdest dude in the world.
And it was nice, but it was so socially awkward and weird, and we were both like, yeah.
It made us feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
No, well,
but like if you said to me, do you want to be served by him again, I'd go no thanks
even and though he made the same coffee as anyone else.
It's actually really nice. But it made me feel uncomfortable for those 5 minutes. So like,
so you could be a dope ass dancer, but if you're making people feel uncomfortable on set,
then you're probably not going to get hired back, and all these things fall into the game.
Yeah, and it really is a game. I think as self-employed, I don't know, I treat it like a game.
Monopoly.
Yeah, it's like experimenting and like just working shit out, and it's quite an enjoyable experience. Yeah.
But I think that the main thing is like be a nice person.
Mm.
I think
don't
if you're
a dick.
I think if you're likable. So like the other day I did on Instagram. It won't be the other day for this episode, but it was the other day for this conversation.
2 weeks in the other day.
Yeah. Like choreographers you'd love to work with, and people were like writing like their recommendations, and someone put Liam Lunis, and then it came to my mind that like, I don't think I've ever worked for Liam, but I had a conversation with someone who has worked for Liam, and I said, how did it go? And he said, like, he's the nicest guy to work for, and he is amazing at dealing with, like, the production team. He's, like, so easygoing for them. And I was like, that's part of his success.
Yeah.
Like, not only his talent and his vision has got him there, but that's a huge part of it because everyone likes working with him.
Yeah.
So that's why he's always there. That's why he's always getting those jobs. Like, but the fact that the first thing I said was to this other established choreographer, what was it like working with him? He didn't even go his dope choreo. He's like, he's such a nice guy.
Such a nice person. It's interesting you say that. So there's a statistic, I can't remember the exact numbers, but something, if you have a negative experience, let's say you go to a restaurant, you know, the shit, the food, you know, rubbish, whatever. on average, you'll tell 7 people. Those 7 people tell a further 3 people. Those 3 people each, bear in mind, those 3 people tell another 1 person each. So it's a massive spread of like negative influence. If you have a positive influence, on average, they'll tell 3 people, and those 3 people tell 1 person. I can't remember the exact numbers, but it works out something like there's a 35-person discrepancy between a negative and a positive experience.
Wow.
Which is crazy, right? Because we all harness on the negatives. So, and I have that in my mind when I work for anyone or have like a social or business interaction with someone. Not necessarily social, but business interaction. It's like I need that person to walk away from a positive, with a positive experience. Mm. Whether it's I get their content to them sooner or I'm just lovely to have around on set or whatever. Like that's in my mind.
Yeah. That makes sense though. Because we do like as a society. Yeah. It's more attractive to talk about.
Yeah. Which is like, fucking stupid.
So stupid. Yeah, man.
Don't. I mean, I think we could talk about this subject for days because we've got so much experience in this realm. But I think short and sweet for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, make sure you hit that subscribe button.
Is that the way we're doing it every week now?
I don't know.
Hit that subscribe.
I don't know. I feel like I've stole it or something. I don't feel like it's my authentic self.
Be your authentic self, darling.
Okay. Hit that subscribe button.
That's not very authentic either.
Okay. Subscribe, motherfucker.
Subscribe, motherfucker. Comment and like, motherfucker.
But no, please share the podcast. Even if you don't like it, tell people to not tell people. I don't like that podcast, it's rubbish, but listen to it and tell me why you don't like it, just so more people listen and hopefully we win them over.
Let's use that negative thing. Yeah. And if you are one of these people that speak about negative stuff, try and tell 7 people about positive experience and catch that.
Yeah.
Make that happen.
And hit that subscribe button.
Just fucking subscribe, all right?
Yeah. Also, I want to give a shout out to Luke the Duke London, the Capsule podcast. I listened to one of his episodes the other day and, yo, he's come on so much, like his podcast since the first time I ever interviewed him on here.
Did you interview him?
Yeah, when he first ever started it. So yeah, shout out to him. Go and check it out. It's called The Capsule. It's all dance related. Slightly different kind of conversations, but it's fun. He gets nice people in to talk with him, like Tally and Lee and a few other people at different times. Go check it out.
Peace.
Peace.